sacar en el centro, que vino por abajo, no tanto gol.
The World Cup is a tournament that places sweaty young athletes on a field of competition that sometimes evokes some very old history. For host Brazil, it's a nation's proud championship past coming together with its emergence as an economic powerhouse. That pride swept aside Team Croatia, you could hear yesterday, with the help of some dubious officiating. On Sunday, the ghosts of 19th century Europe will take the field when Bosnia-Herzegovina takes on the mighty Argentina. It'll be the first time Bosnia will compete in the final since claiming independence from Yugoslavia in 1992. And for Bosnian national Kenan Trbinčević, this weekend's match is a chance to remind people how far Bosnians have come since their own bloody war in the 1990s. Kenan is the author of The Bosnia List, a memoir about the war that tore Yugoslavia apart when the only thing holding it together was soccer. There's also a lot at stake for opponent Argentina with its own history of revolution and state-sponsored brutality. The last time a Bosnian player went to the tournament for the Yugoslavian team was in 1990, and they lost in the quarterfinals on penalties against Argentina. For Kenan, this weekend's World Cup encounter is much more than a game.
This game has become our weapon to win back our pride and place, you know, in a sports arena. And that's what I'm really, you know, looking forward to. And when I went back on my trip, I realized that, you know, it never made sense of how and why we survived. And at first, I felt like a young boy who lost his happy childhood. But in the end, I realized how amazingly lucky we were. And I realized that the war even brings worst or best out of people. And I feel bad for my parents mostly because, you know, they lived one big lie in Yugoslavia, which was a hybrid country. And as a child, I believed that, you know, my karate coach and neighbors turned on us overnight. But, you know, I don't think it was overnight. The war allowed him to be who they truly were. And it was nothing personal. It was just, you know, pure hatred and nationalism.
You know, Americans traditionally don't follow the World Cup and don't get into it. And they think of it as just some kind of obsession that the rest of the world has. Can you explain through your history how the World Cup evokes this deep sense of personal history and national pride in almost every country? For Bosnia, it's one story, but it's there for almost every team and every fan.
For example, for South Americans, many, I don't want to generalize, it's a way out of poverty. So Brazilians, Argentinians, as you come across players like Neymar and Messi, you know, they came from nowhere. And I really believe people live vicariously through them. Unfortunately, in the Balkans, it's the way to vent your frustration. So there's always a couple hundred idiots who go on a field and they'll bring posters of war criminals like Milosevic and Ratko Mladic. Soccer games tend to turn into violence in the Balkans.
Let me read you a scene from your book from your first day, I believe, in an American school. You're having trouble imagining how you would trust anybody, making friends. I can imagine how just uncomfortable you must have felt. You write, "Most of my old playmates from Bosnia, along with my former martial arts coach and favorite teacher, hated me and wanted me to die. I pretended not to care, but I did. I held on to each slight from my past, replaying the demeaning betrayals in my mind. I couldn't let go of my bad memories. Everything was too important to me." And this is what's going through your mind on your first day of an American school. At recess, that first day of school in America, everyone was pointing to the new foreign kid. Miguel handed me a basketball. I threw the ball at the backboard carefully and made the shot. Miguel gave me a high five. And here's what he asked you. "What's your favorite soccer team?" "Mine's Real Madrid," he told me. "Yugoslavia no more," I said, regretting that my favorite had split up just like my country. Wow. Soccer united you in Yugoslavia when you were there, and was your entrance to America on the first day of school.
First day. It was always part of cultural identity in Balkans, like soccer and martial arts. I remember like the 1990 World Cup, we went outside, we were chanting like Yugoslavia, all the kids, and we went up to buy white T-shirts and we stenciled them with blue numbers. So what we do is we would play soccer till dusk or until our mothers yelled at us to come inside and eat. And we would play till, you know, we couldn't see soccer ball anymore. And we used to shout out live time commentaries, imagining commentaries.
Really?
There were those players, and someday we'll be them and people will look up to us. And I remember that I was sitting, I remember in May 9th or May 10th in 1992 on my living room floor when the war started, and I was looking through soccer sticker album. I was 11. Yeah. And I remember looking at Alexi Lalas, if you know Alexi Lalas, and Tony Miola, famous American goalie. And that's when I heard a loud knock on a door, and it was karate coach who came to our door and told us we had 1 hour to leave or be killed.
Wow. You describe, you know, in this terrific book, The Bosnia List, what it was like to take all of your memories and your feelings back to Bosnia and try to relive or settle some of those scores. Yeah. Here's how you described yourself. I was the little shrimp outside on the stairwell who every day was picked on by former friends, spit at, denied food in stores, hit, tripped on the steps, and shot at. My suffering was interactive with so much FaceTime on the streets with Serbs. The confrontations I craved now were more personal, speaking of your return to Bosnia. The list was becoming my scheduling book, security blanket, preparation tool, medicine to stem the pain, and symbol of my control. We had 7 days in Bosnia. I might never go back. I didn't want to be left with eternal regrets. Meanwhile, I couldn't stop reliving all those times I'd walked through our building with Mom, watching the pain on her face as Petra toyed with her, a particular memory that you have of someone who was intolerant to you. You won't be needing that carpet, Petra had said before taking the black and white rug my mother had treasured. I was haunted by not being able to protect Mom when I was 12. I couldn't even argue. I was muffled then, since Petra could have turned us into the police at any moment. The story here, you go back.
Yep.
You take your revenge and your powerful memories with you. On that soccer field, how much of Bosnia's performance is going to be, in some sense, an echo of your personal revenge if they do well?
Even qualifying for World Cup is a victory against those who want to see Bosnia dissolve. You know, this country is split into two regions. And, you know, there are, of course, Serbs and plenty of Croats who want to see Bosnia succeed and win. And many fantasize that this would unify the country.
Do you believe that?
No, I don't. I mean, because the other half of the country mostly does not want to see Bosnia win. Because during the games, qualifying games, we see in news, you know, who they chant for. I mean, we can be playing Mars. They're going to, you know, cheer against Mars.
Mm-hmm.
But those who are part of the squad, they're very pro-Bosnian, and they want to see independent Bosnia where all different factions you know, live together in peace.
Kenan Trbinčević is the author of The Bosnia List, and he's headed to Rio to cheer on his team this Sunday in their first match against Argentina.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.